Welcome back. 3:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Friday afternoon, a pleasure to welcome back to the program Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment and author of the book Democracy Denied. Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just great, despite the fact that today is Sequester Day, 2013. It's Friday. We're still here. I don't know how that happened. The president and all of his warriors told us the sky was going to fall today.
Yeah, now he said today that it's like a slow motion collapse of everything. So you won't notice right away, but, you know, don't worry. Everything we said will happen eventually if you don't give us our way. That's what I got out of his press conference.
Yeah, anyway. I got a lot out of his press conference. I got a lot of the same stuff I've been hearing over and over again. And tell me the truth, Phil. You knew he was going into this meeting this morning. Nothing was going to happen, and he was going to walk out and tell his loving press that it's all the Republicans' fault.
Oh, yeah, well, my favorite part of the press conference when he said, can anyone here think of anything else I could be doing right now? I never said a word. It's like, great, our press corps can't think of a thing. I don't know, submit a budget that's a month overdue? That might help. I mean, it's like, they're like, no, you're doing everything. We can't think of a thing.
Yeah, you're perfect. Right, you're perfect. And I don't know if you caught the one reporter asked a good question. You know, how much responsibility do you bear in all of this? He never even got close to answering that question. He just blew that off and went in totally a total different direction.
Well, we know he's not responsible at all. I mean, he also said, you know, I can't tell the leaders in Congress. I can't tell John Boehner and Mitch McConnell what to do. It's like, you know, Republicans don't actually control the Senate.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of this. There's a guy named Harry Reid in charge over there who hasn't done a budget in 4 years.
Yeah, that's true. I saw your column, Government Spending Hurts People. You list quite a few examples, like the couple who couldn't build their dream home on their own property. I remember that story.
Yeah, this is the Sacketts in Idaho who, you know, the EPA basically told them, your land is a wetland. It was nowhere near any waterway. They say, we decided your land is a wetland. If you build, we'll fine you $75,000 a day. Oh, and you can't appeal this determination. You have no recourse. You have no due process rights. It is a wetland because we said so. And they actually went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court where they won 9-0. The Supreme Court said you got to at least give them due process. You have to let them appeal. But they got bullied. And you know, so that's kind of a high-profile, well-known example. But the point I'm trying to make on this issue is, you know, in the next couple weeks, every single day we're going to get these tear-jerking, heartstring-pulling stories about so-and-so got furloughed one day a week. And so I don't know, you saw them in your competitors across town, the Washington Post, had a story today about one bureaucrat who may not be able to pay his dog walker anymore because of the sequester. So, you know, some of them are just going to be idiotic. Some of them will be, you know, genuinely tough situations where, you know, people are taking a furlough or what have you, and they know they're going to try to make us all cry over it. And I just want us to remember there are a lot of government employees who do almost nothing all day long except harass and intimidate people in the private sector, shut down businesses, give people a hard time, and so on. And so, you know, when the government worker is being furloughed, he might be giving up his dog walker or maybe even something bad happening to him. But a lot of people in the private sector are actually better off when some of these bureaucrats aren't up to their usual mischief.
You know, I saw some of the numbers you quoted about how one individual can affect so many people and do so much harm.
Yeah, actually, they updated it yesterday with a post on their blog, but the Phoenix Center, which does, you know, law and economics research, did this study a couple of years ago, and they kind of applied their numbers to the sequester with this blog post they posted yesterday. But basically, they determined that in the regulatory agencies, and granted, that's a small part of the overall budget. I think it's about $50 or $60 billion total. So you're talking about, you know, at 5 or 8% cut, whatever the sequester cut is applied to that, it's, you know, $2 or $3 billion. It's not big in the grand scheme. You know, it's maybe, you know, a small piece of the sequester. But that small piece alone could create enough economic benefit and job creation in the private sector to offset the entire GDP loss of the sequester, according to their analysis. And that's because the average employee in a federal regulatory agency destroys an average of 98 private sector jobs a year. And so, you know, if you take a 5% cut to the regulatory agency budgets, they found that can create 1.2 million private sector jobs.
See, now I've got a better understanding of what Maxine Waters said yesterday. I want to play this little soundbite.
Caused these job losses, over 170 million jobs that could be lost.
Over 170 million jobs could be lost as a result of the sequester. Well, last time I checked, Phil, we have 139 million people working in this country. So if you have a job, you lost it. And if you have a second job, you've probably lost that one as well.
Well, yeah. Do you remember a few years ago during the stimulus when Nancy Pelosi said that if we didn't pass the stimulus, we would lose 500 million jobs?
Yeah.
they reminded me of that one. I mean, the amazing thing, you could give them the benefit of the doubt, say it's a slip of the tongue. Everyone does this from time to time, million, billion, trillion. You mix up your numbers, thousands and millions, what have you. But it seems to me there's a bigger problem here in Washington, particularly among some of these Democrats who seem to have no conception of what things cost and no conception about kind of the appropriate orders of magnitude, what we're dealing with in the real world. That's how you end up with this gigantic debt.
I mean,
these people are totally out to lunch. And, you know, Maxine Waters, of course, is kind of an extreme case. But I think there are a lot who are out of it to a slightly lesser degree.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned regulation and how much that has to do it, how much the government has to do in destroying jobs and businesses. I don't know if you saw the interview on CNBC the other afternoon, but Fred DeLuca, the owner of Subway Sandwich Shop, he's the guy that started the whole chain back in the 60s. He appeared on the show and he said, under today's regulations, he would have never made it. He said, there's just no way. He had to focus on making sandwiches, and he couldn't, you know, he can't focus on all the red tape you've got to go through. And he just said it just wouldn't work today.
Yeah, he's not the first entrepreneur to say that. Bernie Marcus said the same thing about Home Depot last year. He said, never could have got it started in today's regulatory environment. And I think a lot of people don't understand the impact of all of these rules and regulations. And in particular, everything that's happening is a consequence of Dodd-Frank, which has caused an extreme tightening of lending standards. And so a lot of businesses can't get financing anymore. The idea of reputational lending, where a small community bank would lend you money because they know you in the community, that can't happen anymore. It doesn't happen anymore. The big banks control everything, and it's all regulated, and it's all automated, and it's very difficult for entrepreneurs to get access to capital. And if they do get access to capital, it's hard for them to deal with all the labor and environmental regulations, the OSHA rules, all the red tape that comes down out of Washington. It's getting much worse with Obamacare. It's getting much worse with Dodd-Frank. We've got an extremely activist EPA and all the rest of it. This is a huge, huge problem. And, you know, you can't talk about federal spending without talking about the regulatory side, because all of these bureaucrats, they're all on the payroll. They're all getting paid. And, you know, when we look to cut federal spending, that is where you get the biggest bang for the buck in terms of doing something positive for the economy, is cutting back on the number of regulators and bureaucrats. And, you know, when Obama goes up there and he says, this is going to be terrible because the FDA is going to have to furlough food inspectors, and the first thing that I think is, you know, why don't you furlough the FDA SWAT teams that are raiding Amish dairy farms for the horrible crime of selling unpasteurized milk? I mean, it's like all this crazy stuff that these people are doing. Stop that first, the destructive stuff, the stuff that's actually undermining business.
Yeah. How are things going at American Commitment? I know you guys, you fired this thing up, what, about a year ago, a little more?
Not quite a year. We'll be a year next month.
Okay.
It's going terrific. We've got about 90,000 members now, and we've had over a million visitors to our Action Center, and we've engaged on a lot of these big tax spending and regulatory issues. Right now, we're running a petition to stop funding for the National Labor Relations Board until it actually is operating within the Constitution, not relying on illegal appointees, and that's on the front of our website at AmericanCommitment.org if people want to join in on that one.
All right. Folks, do it. AmericanCommitment.org, that's the place. Phil, as always, great to talk to you. Keep up the good work, my friend.
My pleasure. Have a good one, Andy.
You too. 3:58, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.